Porter QI presents Quality for the Rest of Us with Gail Porter, investigating the mysterious world of healthcare in search of adventurous innovation and exciting solutions from professionals across the nation. Most healthcare professionals are eagerly awaiting their days off for the holidays, dreaming of vacations in quiet places, time with loved ones, and a break from the hustle and bustle of daily life. As we return to our hometowns, Porter QI is returning with one of our most popular episodes on rural healthcare. This episode discusses innovations in technology that could benefit the furthest-reaching locations, where the stars really do twinkle in the night sky. So pour some hot cocoa and enjoy this holiday episode, while we wish you a warm and merry Christmas and a happy new year from Porter QI. In the book, If You Lived Here, You'd Be Home By Now, Why We Traded the Commuting Life for a Little House on the Prairie, author Christopher Ingram writes about leaving his data job in Washington, D.C. to settle in a tiny town in northern Minnesota where his neighbors know his name. He writes, and I quote, "Here there is space for families to play, grow, expand. Space that doesn't exist where life is circumscribed by commutes and high costs and the presence of thousands, of millions of other people. If you keep a fish in a small, crowded tank, it will grow up stunted and tiny, never attaining its true natural size. Part of me believes that people are the same way, that we need space, room to explore and grow, a certain distance from our neighbors. In that respect, at least, the Midwest has quite literally broadened our horizons." End of quote. About 20% of Americans live in rural areas. That's about 60 million people. And in 2021, 72% of rural Americans reported having a broadband internet connection at home. Yet rural areas are experiencing some of the greatest losses in the healthcare staffing crisis. Journalist Emily Henderson explains how an Indian Health Services hospital in Navajo Country reported a 50% staff vacancy rate, despite offering federal benefits and discount housing. She writes, quote, "More than 100 rural hospitals have closed in the past decade, and another 600, nearly a third of all rural hospitals in the country, are on the brink," end quote. Why would healthcare staff choose to stay in a crime-ridden urban area working middle-of-the-night trauma calls when they could broaden their horizons in scenic rural areas with the comfort of broadband internet? I recently had the privilege of hearing from an obstetrician who debated serving in rural West Texas after he retired from his full-time practice. He shared that there were two major reasons that kept him from practicing in a rural area 600 miles from the next mid-sized hospital. And it wasn't the proximity of a big-box store or easy access to movie theaters. The concerns that kept him from saying yes to rural healthcare were the lack of consulting specialists and the absence of a nearby blood bank. In today's episode, I'd like to step back and innovate for a bit. I'm going to share some stories from innovators around the world because I believe that rural areas have become part of the Netropolis, with an N, the global community formed by the internet. Call me an idealist, but I don't think it's impossible to find affordable solutions to these problems. I was amazed when Mark Rober, a former NASA engineer and founder of Crunch Labs, recently reported on a project by the company Zipline that can deliver emergency blood products in 15 to 20 minutes to remote hospitals. Their engineers designed a novel approach to drone flight and logistics. And in Rwanda, it has reduced in-hospital deaths from postpartum hemorrhage by 88%. This technology is launching in 7 countries to date, in places where transporting resources can be quite difficult. Truly, the ability to deliver emergency supplies at distances of up to 150 miles round trip has already saved thousands of lives since the program's inception. For conditions like trauma and pregnancy complications, the ability to supply life-saving blood products in a timely manner, regardless of road conditions, is a game changer. And it's not just the patients who are grateful. Doctors are grateful that they can help save lives rather than struggle without resources and face poor outcomes for their patients. I think this is key. One of the worst occupational slurs that you could make about a medical professional is to accuse them of doing their job for the money, essentially saying that they don't care whether their patient lives or dies or suffers in agony as long as they make money. But the truth is that there are a lot of better ways to make money, and most people go into healthcare because they were inspired by someone who is a wonderful caregiver or a courageous patient. Most people actually enter the profession because they want to help patients get better. Is it possible that improving access to resources for rural patients could also improve staffing in rural hospitals? Is it possible that poor outcomes are the true cause of poor staff ratios? I love that Zipline's nearly silent drones can fly 150 miles round trip. But the USA is big. There are vast canyons, giant fields of sunflowers, mountain peaks, and lakes the size of a small sea. Texas alone poses an imposing distance, with some hospitals resting 600 miles from the nearest tertiary care facility. So flight distance could be a barrier. But another company similar to Zipline, called Mighty Fly, has already developed, tested, and certified a drone that can fly 600 miles with 100 pounds of cargo. It just needs 2 parking spaces of space to land and take off and safely make that flight. Flying blood products to these areas, using drones like the ones produced by Zipline and Mighty Fly, would be an inspiring solution that could save a lot of lives. When I graduated from nursing school and started looking for work, I considered some rural hospitals under the Indian Health Services and wondered if I had the stomach or the ingenuity to deal with resource deserts and poverty. I thought it would be better for me to get experience where things are done, quote, the right way, before I challenged my ability to adapt in a rural area where doing things the right way often gives way to being scrappy and using whatever is available, like tearing up bedsheets to make a tourniquet because the usual trauma kits are just not available. When I thought of a resource desert, I imagined shortages of certain medications and equipment, and those shortages do exist, but they are not often cited as the reason why healthcare professionals turn away work in these areas. I was fascinated when a physician with decades of experience discussed how bereft he would feel if he could not consult with a specialist when he felt the need. This was a barrier for rural health that I had not considered, but it definitely seems like one that can be overcome with modern technology. For example, how many times have you seen a specialist and they actually assessed your physical body? I'm not talking about your primary care doctor who conducts an annual physical, but the specialist who requires an extra referral just to get an appointment. How many times did they listen to your lung sounds and check your skin or do something besides talk and review the medical chart? The truth is that the specialist role is not particularly hands-on. In my lifetime, I can count on one hand the times a specialist actually assessed me. I think the majority of consultations today are really seeking an expert opinion about treatment decisions, and it seems to me that in most cases, a telehealth visit would meet this need quite nicely. I would guess that a majority of hospital consults today are simply asking whether it is safe to operate or transfer or try a certain medication or treatment. Or is there another test that needs to be run first? There are times when a review of the most recent labs, vital signs trends, and medical history will provide adequate information for an expert opinion. When I was in college and I traveled out of the country, I used to visit an internet cafe a couple times each week to tell my family all about my experiences and sometimes to ask my mom for advice about doing laundry in the sink or some other practical question. I started to wonder what it would be like to have an internet cafe designed for specialist consultations in rural areas, where a medical aide could take vital signs and help patients log into the system securely, ensuring that they can see and hear their provider clearly. This would allow even patients who have never used a computer to visit with a specialist in their own community. Telehealth also makes translation and accessibility services readily available, since those services are not site-bound. There are several companies entering the telehealth scene, but now I am noticing companies that are going beyond primary care and are now providing consultations in a wide variety of medical specialties. There are maternal-fetal medicine specialists for my friend in obstetrics, and there are endocrinologists, ophthalmologists, and surgical specialists, for example. A psychiatric eval can be done online, and an intensivist can review a case for potential upgrade. I wonder how many fears would be alleviated for healthcare providers in rural areas if they could just reach out and get a timely expert opinion on their patient's case. In my first 2 years as a nurse, I often asked my mentors to take a look at my patient and make sure I wasn't missing anything. I would brief them on what I had found and they would ask me questions. What does their skin look like? Did you check their pulse ox? These briefings helped me develop critical thinking, and it also helped me to prepare before calling the physician in the middle of the night. It meant a lot to me to know that I was part of a team and that we all had the same mission of helping our patients get better. Everyone on our team cared about their patients, and they were even willing to care about my patients. I think if rural healthcare professionals could have better access to the larger team, it could relieve a lot of stress, burnout, and even moral injury. If a colleague is there to verify that, yes, it will be tough, but it's the right thing to do, at least you can stop questioning your own actions and focus on the job at hand. While modern technology and innovation offer a lot for rural health, that doesn't mean it won't be a challenge. Even Christopher Ingram found rural life challenging, and it required planning and fortitude to make it. But the most challenging environments are the places where we as human beings grow the most and feel the greatest satisfaction. And one perk of helping patients in rural healthcare is that you're bound to run into them when you finish your shift at the end of the day. Everyone knows everyone in these communities. You won't just be helping some random patient, but the clerk at the grocery store, the local librarian, your kid's school teacher. Rural healthcare is impossible to commodify, because it is an active service to your neighbor. It's hard to do it for the money when someone sees you at the farmer's market and remembers that you held their hand when they delivered their baby. Or when you go to a bridal shower and their aunt remembers how you comforted them when their father passed away. And that's also why it's hard to work in rural healthcare without adequate resources. No one wants to watch a beloved neighbor pass away because there are no blood products. It's time to use our technology to provide better resources for rural Americans. There is no longer any excuse for a medical desert in Navajo country, when the entire nation of Ghana can deliver vaccines and medications throughout the country using safe and accurate drones. What challenges are you facing today that seem impossible? How can we cheer you on and verify that your hard work is meaningful?
Thanks for listening to Quality for the Rest of Us. If you found this episode helpful, please consider liking and subscribing so you'll be notified when future episodes come out. If you have thoughts or questions, you can email qforus@porterqi.com. And if you're interested in joining our community, visit porterqi.com. You'll find podcast archives, helpful articles, innovative tools, and a knowledgeable group of professionals just like you. That's porterqi.com. I hope to see you there.